the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
You know, a night at the Yard is good for the soul, really is. It was fun to be at the ballpark last night. And full disclosure, I did not survive to the final out. I had to go home. And I'm glad that I did because I got to enjoy the heckler as much as I did a baseball game last night. Welcome. It is good to have you here on a Friday afternoon. Darren Smith in once again here to co-host on the Damon Bruce Show. You were down at the ballpark last night, too. And, you know, before we get into the particulars and the drama and the mad bum and then the heckle god who will be joining us live in studio in about 20 minutes or so, we've got a nice little ballpark in this town, don't we?
Yeah, decent. Always been one of my favorites since it opened up way, way back when, before I started working on the West Coast. I was fortunate to be working for a company you may have heard of, ESPN. And I had an opportunity to come out here, do a couple of radio shows way, way back in the day. And it was right about the time where it was a brand new ballpark. Nobody knew what to expect or how it was going to play. But I've always loved that place. I do. I sort of get mesmerized, though, at times. Because the quality of the play is one thing, and there's been a lot of exciting games. But, man, I really do. Every time I'm in that park, I've done radio shows in that park, I just find myself staring out into the bay. I do, especially while it's light out. I do love that place. We got a lot of good ballparks in the NL West, and that one's right on top for me.
Look, they are now, whether you wanted them to be or not, whether you want to accept it, they're one of the hottest teams in all baseball. I know that the A's and Mike Fiers both cooled off a little bit last night. But they're still an incredibly hot baseball team. We've got good baseball for the first time all summer long. Let's enjoy it, especially over the next 4 hours here on 95.7 The Game. Alex Biddle. Who is Alex Biddle? Alex Biddle is the heckler. Last night's heckler who had better microphone placement than Dwayne Kuiper or Mike Kruko. I mean, he was in between each and every pitch from about the 13th inning on. We'll find out how he improved his seat. Kind of easy to do when you get that many innings. But he made his way down and really put on a show last night and just heckled in a way that was extraordinary to the point where, Darren, so the Giants, in the past when Melky Cabrera was here, they had four guys dressed up as milkmen, and they were called the Milkmen, and they would continue to put the camera on them, and everyone thought, oh, that's fantastic. Those four guys, very funny, very organic, cool way to root. And then it turned out that, like, NBC California actually went ahead and hired those guys, and it lost any element of generic fandom and became something people instantly loved and then rejected.
So it wasn't actually organic. It was totally manufactured. Yeah, that'll take some of the excitement out of that.
Yeah, it's when the crowd only gets loud because the scoreboard says make some noise, that doesn't really count. So I'm watching this guy just tear through Mets hitters in a way that was inoffensive, wasn't derogatory, wasn't using a drop of foul language. Not a drop. And he was just riding dudes for like three innings.
Oh, messed up again.
He got all over J.D. Davis's socks.
Nice socks, J.D. Good socks. How long did it take to pick out the socks, J.D.?
How long did it take to pick out? And then he notices that they're not the same socks, and he's doing a mix and matchy. He got on Steven Matz.
Hey, that was good. That was like batting practice. Good job, Steven.
Like, hit us a home run, I dare you. I want to go home.
I love it. Don't you? Every time I go to a game where I sit in the stands and there's a heckler, and you know there's a heckler really, really early on in the sporting event, part of me is always dreading what's to come, right? Am I going to put up with this for nine innings? Am I going to put up with this for four quarters? So part of me is always dreading what's to become of this guy, especially over the span of a sporting event where you usually add some alcohol into the mix.
Yes.
But I got to give it credit because that was a good way to get from the end of the nine-inning affair and in through the 16th inning of that baseball game last night.
I don't know if the Giants had a base hit like in extra innings until they were actually scoring in extra innings. So it was, we needed a little something, and I'm dead serious. I'm rooting for, like, at the bottom of the 15th, I'm like, I hope we get a top of the 16th. I want this guy to get three more hitters. I really did. He was funny. Now, would something like this, if it were every night, wear out its welcome quickly? Yes, of course it would. It was a one-off, but it was funny. And some people on the internet, again, some of you are just impossible to please. You forgot how to laugh years ago, and you'll never get it again. Like, you live to be miserable. You live to take attention and shine away from someone. Like, you can see people start to praise this guy, and there's those who have to say, well, that's not particularly funny. And I got another guy here who's like, you don't even have the right heckler. You got duped. Like, I have video of the guy from last night's game. He was sitting right behind home plate.
Well, yes. It didn't start there.
Right. There might have been another heckler, but I'm not talking about your heckler. There's never just one heckler, but this one guy was sitting next to the microphone, and it was funny. I mean, please, feel free to take, you know, in the 13th inning of a baseball game, feel free to clock out of your workday and lighten up a little bit. You know what I mean?
I almost got the sense that you were watching more. Now, I must admit, I missed this because I stayed at the game until I stayed through 10. I think 10 is about when I bailed. And then I started walking back to my hotel, which is, as I've mentioned a couple of times, towards Union Square. I stopped by the TV studios to see Flan for a little bit.
For those who don't know, Darren and Flannery are good friends.
Yep, and very good friends with him. So I stopped to say hello, watched a couple more innings there, and then I was on my way. So you started sending these clips. You're like, this heckler is just crushing it. He's crushing it. So I had to rely on you and the Twitters to let me know what was going on. Yeah, it was funny. And he was into it, too, not just in what he was saying, like how his body was moving around. When he made that line about the socks, you could see his whole body start to move, to look, to examine the socks to make sure that what he was saying was accurate, which is sort of rare for any heckler. Right? I mean, like, he was all about accuracy with the sock thing.
It really was. And look, I think this person said it best, who saw me admiring not only the fact was this guy, I thought, in the moment, funny. He was unoffensive, and he heckled Mets hitters without swearing for over 3-4 innings. Let me just ask you right now. Let's say we had a mic'd up Mets fan back at Citi Field in New York getting on Giants hitters. Do you think eventually one swear word might point out? And that's what, Darren, I swear to God, it made me think, is this inauthentic? Is this another plant? By the way, if, you know, with the pedigree of the broadcasting crew, if they planted a heckler to get us through extra innings, that would be bad. That would not be good. But somebody here on Twitter last night totally gets it, saying, Damon, I'm not a fan of hecklers, but there is an art to it. And this guy totally nailed it. No swearing, nothing derogatory, just an annoying voice out there, just wearing out Mets hitters.
You'll never convince me either that the hitters and that the players on the field don't hear it. You'll never convince me of that whatsoever.
There are times when they definitely don't, but there are times when they definitely do.
That was a time where they did. I mean, the park had it wasn't 36,000 into the late innings, into the late evening at AT&T, or excuse me, at Oracle.
So I'm posting video of the guy. I'm laughing. We got a lot of, you know, Twitter momentum, and people are commenting on it. And I just said at the end of one video, like, Twitter, go do your thing. Go find this guy for me. Twitter, find me this guy, and I swear to God, the internet's an amazing place sometimes, because within 20 minutes, the internet indeed found me this guy. His name is Alexander Biddle. He is an attorney. He cleared his afternoon schedule to come by, and I think he's going to be in the building in the next 10 minutes or so, and we will say hello to Alex and ask him about, how drunk was he when he got down there? Obviously not drunk enough where he started swearing. Does he swear a lot in his normal life? I don't know. Like, how do you do that? I mean, this guy he was the most effective heckler in the National League. The only time he really was shut up was when Pete Alonso cranked one. I thought Alonso might give him the old stink eye running. Didn't. Never looked at him. No problems at all. He upset some Mets fans. He did. I thought he was funny. I thought he was very, very funny. We've got a good show for you today. Matt Vasgersian stopping on by at 4 o'clock. We have very good, fun, interesting things to talk about today. And we have one thing that is downright, any way you want to look at it, concerning and not fun at all. Without knowing the details and a whole lot of he said, he said, he, you know what I'm trying to say? He said, she said. Now, defining this story, if you would have told me a couple weeks ago, listening to the audio that we were listening about Tyreek Hill, that he would be playing ever again in football, I told you that's the slim to none, and one of those chances might have left town. He is not suspended at all. The NFL has totally cleared him of any wrongdoing. Why? How? The process? Is it worth it? All of that a little bit later on. But we're going to start. We're going to have a little fun with some baseball last night, because the Giants, they continued to be interesting in a way that I don't even know if they're doing themselves any favors being really interesting right now. At the same time, you know, it's fun to wrap yourself up in a moment and just let it go. Let's have a good time. Someone's like, leading off the show with a random heckler, must be a slow news day. Yeah, it's a Friday.
And yes,
yeah,
it's
the
correct
definition of a slow news day. We're going to have a little fun. I'm gonna just give you a little advice right now. Take the thumb out of your ass to enjoy today's show. I'm dead serious. I am not here for the I am a serious sports fan, want serious sports talk. It's gorgeous out. It's Friday. We are going to have ourselves a good time today. Even with things that are happening in the NFL that are certainly undesirable all the way around. When we come on back, we will say hello to Alex Biddle in a little bit. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to talking to you as well. 888-957-9570. Let's have some fun today here on the Damon Bruce Show. Right now, Elena, hello.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
In another 3-2 pitch. Driven to left. Hit well. It is off the bottom of the wall. This game is tied. Crawford's got a double. Absolutely terrific at bat.
That was a really good at bat by Crawford late in the game. Ties it up there. Sound courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. Of course, it's Dwayne Kuiper on the call. And then when it was all said and done,
and Solano is going to step up. Base hit! And this game is over! And they just keep on doing it.
They did. I mean, look, you can't shake your stick at a hot streak, and they're officially on one right now, and it looked like they had very much forgotten their offense in Colorado, where they scored all those runs. And Darren, I remember telling you time and time again, Darren Smith, my friend here all week long, that, you know, watch him come back home and basically get shut out. And they were lucky, you know, it took them 16 innings to score a second run, a two run, you know, whatever it was, 3-2, 2-3, whatever it was. I don't know if this win streak is good or bad for them, but it felt fun to be at the ballpark last night. How about that last at-bat for Bumgarner? Like, Boach wanted to make a little something happen.
Yeah, I liked it. I understand that we live in a world now where you ask managers mostly to manage the game and navigate the game through data, right? We talk about this all the time. Like, where's the feel for the game gone? I've got a gut feeling compared to the data that gets handed down. I'd be willing to bet, even though Bumgarner was cruising last night, and we don't know, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe he's got another start coming up next Tuesday against the Chicago Cubs. But letting him hit for me in that bottom of the seventh inning, and I was still there. I think you had departed by that time. By that, I just mean that you left Oracle. You didn't actually die.
Thank you.
But the crowd was into him batting in that situation with Yastrzemski sitting on third and one out and an opportunity. And you think to yourself, now I'm sure that data would suggest that that's an opportunity to pinch hit for the pitcher in that spot, which is National League ball. It's at its finest, even though he's cruising and he's got a low pitch count. I'm sure that data would suggest with a runner on third and one out, maybe you go to your bench in that spot. Maybe. I think that Bochy has earned the right to make that call, which maybe doesn't sync up with what the numbers would suggest. I think that he felt, I'm going to give Madison Bumgarner this opportunity because of what you just said. Sports is so much about moments. It's all about moments, and there have been amazing moments with that player and this team and that ballpark. But that had the potential to be a really, really fun moment on a Thursday night at the park. Now, it didn't work out. He struck out. And I say to Syndergaard, who started throwing him breaking balls, like he didn't treat him like any other pitcher, and you understand why. But I was into that, and the crowd was into it as well, because you could see from where I was sitting, which was behind home plate and a little bit up, you could see the entire place start standing up when Bumgarner goes and gets into the batter's box there, even though we all probably thought to ourselves, is this a pinch hit opportunity? Probably. But what the hell? Let's just go with it.
The truth is, with Bumgarner being Bumgarner, he's probably a better, more threatening at-bat than the next guy who wasn't already in tonight's game. I don't know who was left on Bochy's bench at that time for that last at-bat, but Bumgarner is pretty darn good with a bat in his hands. He really is. Now, yes, of course, the best hitter in baseball, you know, the best hitting pitcher is not supposed to be as good as your worst hitting everyday player, but the Giants are kind of a unique offense this year and have been for a couple of years. So right. I wasn't really surprised to see him in there at all. That guy does give you a decent at-bat. When it was all said and done, I wasn't surprised to see that Bumgarner was getting a little frosty with reporters and salty when they were asking him about, do you think this was the last one? Do you think you might get traded? Do you think this season going anywhere?
Are you less worried, less conscious about a trade given the way the team's playing?
I don't give a Well, I'm here to win games for this team, and that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Madison, that being said, the trade stuff, I mean, at any point tonight, do you take a step back that this is your final homestand, that this, you know, what that moment was like?
No, I'm trying to win games for the Giants, and we're trying to get into the postseason.
It's, you know, it's so funny the way that he says it so matter-of-factly, like, all right, so I understand that you all think you're Skip Bayless and you have to overanalyze everything every day for the sports TV show that's running in your own head. Sometimes it's just, hi, I'm trying to win. We're trying to get into the postseason. It's just so matter-of-fact and Bumgarner-ish. I got to hear it one more time.
Are you less worried, less conscious about a trade given the way the team's playing?
I don't give a Well, I'm here to win games for this team, and that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Madison, that being said, the trade stuff, I mean, at any point tonight, do you take a step back that this is your final homestand, that this, you know, what that moment was like?
No, I'm trying to win games for the Giants, and we're trying to get into the postseason.
Like, duh. Like, don't you like nachos, Daria? Duh. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's where I showed up here today, not trying to increase my trade value.
Right.
Or do something that would potentially keep me here because there are scouts in the stands. I think it was reported by John Morosi, who was a guest on the show earlier this week, that the Twins had one of their top scouts in the stands watching Bumgarner and Syndergaard, both of whom were awesome last night. That was the 2016 NL wildcard matchup, right?
It was fun.
And both guys delivered. Both guys totally delivered on the night. That was one of those shows where you're like, man, we see openers and we see five-inning guys, and then they have two studs go out there like that and just go mano a mano for the most part, and that ballpark was spectacular.
Like, oh, this is some real major league pitching going on here.
Major league pitching right there.
Exactly. It really, really was. Now, even though Mad Bum doesn't want to talk about it and says, you know, get out of here with your nonsensical questions, when he goes out there and he pitches that well, you can't help but think, so what does it mean? What does it mean to the guy's profile? Again, Adam Wainwright was asked about Madison Bumgarner, and this was a few days ago, and he said, look, it's pretty simple. You know, forget what the actual numbers are. It's Madison Bumgarner.
His postseason record speaks for itself. I mean, what he did in their World Series runs was epic, and I think he probably had one of the greatest postseasons of all time. I think that was 2014. That speaks for itself. Anybody who's going to get him is going to get a proven winner, competitor, champion. But, you know, he's just a big old savage out there on the mound.
Just a big
right
old
now
savage out there. Oh, what happened? Just a big old savage out there on the mound. And indeed, he really, really is. We're going to introduce you to another savage out there right now. He was certainly a savage last night. Alex Biddle, the heckle god, as I've been billing him on Twitter. Last night was sitting in the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, and he improved his seat at some point during the game and moved on down right behind home plate. There was a live microphone, which Alex picked up your heckling as clearly as Kruk and Kipe were going to, you know, be broadcast into my living room, and you did as much to entertain me, and I think a lot of people, watching Major League Baseball last night. That was pretty funny. Thanks for coming on in today. How you doing?
All's well. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too. So at any point in time during your debut performance to the entire Giants fandom, were you made aware that you were part of the broadcast?
I can't recall which inning, but the guy behind me said that his buddy at home could hear, and he thought it was hilarious. And then I didn't really think much of it. And some guy after the game was like, hey, you're trending on Twitter, and Damon Bruce is blowing you up. And that's when I was like, oh, really? And I checked it out, and yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, apparently heckling is a very divisive topic.
Well, so let me tell you, people love to complain about everything these days. If someone likes anything, people run to tell you how much they don't like it. I think the vast majority of people listened to you last night and thought it was really, really funny. And what was amazing to me, and Darren and I have been talking about this, what was amazing to me was that you didn't swear once.
Or did you?
Are you a Mormon? Yeah. Are you like Mormon? Do you not swear or anything? Are you one of those guys, straight edge?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No,
very straight edge.
By the way, your very lovely wife is behind you giving me the "that's absolutely not who he is" universal sign. Hello to you. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Stephanie. Hi.
This is Stephanie. Yeah. Stephanie is...
Now, was she there last night?
She was not.
Okay.
It was Dad's night out.
Here, we'll get you your own microphone. We can do that for you. Absolutely, Stephanie. Thank you for coming.
When did you become aware of what he was up to?
I was aware when he came home and was like, hey, you want to hear something funny? I was like, what did you do now?
It was really, really funny.
I was not surprised at all.
You cracked us up. How did you do that without swearing? Seriously, were you consciously trying to not swear because you knew that you were riding guys and you wanted to just to make it fun? I don't know.
Right. I mean, as an attorney, I know how to choose my words. And I'm sitting right there, and they were saying, we're going to call. There was a couple of Mets fans who were upset, and they said they're going to tell security. And I said, go ahead. I'm not saying anything crazy. I mean, I'm just having a good time.
In a 90% empty ballpark.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone cleared out pretty much at that time. How long have you been a Giants fan?
Whole life.
Where are you from?
Born in San Francisco, but raised most of my life San Mateo area.
Nice. What brought you to the ballpark last night? Would you just happen to have tickets because? Did you go for Bumgarner's last start, or what was it?
Potentially being the last start, and then the price wasn't too bad for those the dugout club or whatever it's called right there, right behind dugout, and it was nice.
So retrace your footsteps, though. How did you end up in that prime seat right there where you were on television every single pitch and we could hear every single word? Because that doesn't sound like that's where your evening started.
I was actually right behind that seat, and so the people in front of me left. And the heckling kind of started because this guy behind me was kind of heckling Pablo Sandoval, making fat jokes and saying, that the Mets fans were louder. And then it was getting later in the game and kind of some people had left and I just kind of turned it on from there. And you heard.
Oh, yes, we did.
As it went on and on.
Now, is this your brand? I mean, is this you at a ball game 100% of the time, or is this pretty unique and special to last night?
I feel like if I'm close enough.
Your wife's telling us everything
he's
here.
He's not competitive at all. Somebody's telling him that they're not being loud. Like, he's going to go all in.
So, I mean, in playing sports, I'm one of the guys who, if you want to talk trash, I'll give it right back to you in your face. And so, you know, if I'm, like, way up in the club, I'm not going to be screaming my head off. But
right,
when you're right on the action.
When you're close to him.
Nice talk, JD! Good talk!
He did spend a lot of time thinking about those socks. Very, very astute to point them out. They were two different socks. He's mixing and matching.
They were cute. They're really cute. I mean, you're up there. You're like, what can I say to this guy? And then these socks just popped out. I was like, JD's been thinking about these socks.
The way that you were.
Hey, that was good. That was like batting practice. Good job, Steven.
the passive-aggressive encouragement. Well done. Well done. Well done. Will you be back tonight?
Probably not. Maybe Saturday, though.
Maybe Saturday. So is that where you normally sit?
No. Just wherever.
Because I've never seen you before. I've never heard you before. And honestly, let's be totally honest. This is a short 15-minute window of fame. If you were there every game, you'd wear out your welcome quickly.
Oh,
but
sure.
Just last night, it was really, really good. And I tell you, there was a guy on Twitter who just said, look, I'm not a big fan of heckling, but there is an art form to it. And this guy absolutely nailed it. You did it. You did it in a fun and entertaining way, and you certainly cracked this up, man.
Here's what I want to know. How long would you were you there, no matter what? That sucker doesn't end in the bottom of the 16th inning.
Yeah, I mean, with those seats, I was ready to go all night. So.
Ready to go all night with material.
I didn't have anything planned. It was just off the top of my head, so I would have kept trying.
I like it. See, he was in for the long haul.
The Seagulls were ready. I was ready.
They were ready.
Let's go all night.
Some questions coming in. How intoxicated were you?
Not that intoxicated. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you were never slurring
your
words.
4 or 5 years over many hours. So
yeah, no big deal. No big deal.
If I was that drunk, I wouldn't be able to do all that. I mean,
did you feel like
that? You wouldn't have been as eloquent.
Was there any acknowledgement from any of the Mets players that you became aware of? Did any of them make eye contact with you at any point? Because Damon said it earlier. He thought maybe Pete Alonso was going to come cross home plate in the top of the 16th and give you the what's up.
I think McNeil, I was getting to McNeil. And I was having really fun with him. I think he's a rookie. So, you know. No, I did think I was going to get a little point. But no, I just think McNeil, I saw a couple of times he kind of shook his head a little bit. They looked really upset. Maybe it was just about the game. Who knows?
He wasn't having a good night, though. Who took an 0 for 6, 0 for 7 last night? Did somebody have one?
The guy who hit the home run. And then...
Pete Alonso absolutely crushed that one. That's the only time you got quiet all night long.
Well, I kept it going, but you know we were down at that point, so I had to show some humility.
What kind of law do you practice?
I do trust in estates.
Oh, so you deal with rich people all the time.
Yeah, people having issues with the big pile of money in the pot, and that's what I do.
It's a good place to be dealing with those people. You got probably a lot of customers.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Probably sitting right behind home plate too.
Yeah,
this might be a good opportunity for him to gin up a little bit of a business as well. You don't get heckled at your job, though, right?
You would be surprised. A lot of lawyers have a fair amount of trash talk, especially as a younger lawyer myself. So they'll test me.
Now, do you think you could do a segment here where he heckles you and you go unflappable through a news story?
Oh, just read the script, stay to the script.
You would hate
just
that.
Just ride me? I don't know. I don't think I could.
You know?
I don't think I could. I could be easily distracted.
No, I couldn't do that to you.
It's like no matter what you're typing, if someone's just behind you saying the word Thursday, 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 eventually you're going to type the word Thursday no matter what you're writing about.
You're just going to say it.
Yeah, it just happens. Hey, thank you for coming in today. We really appreciate it. What was your afternoon like? You move heaven and earth to get here? You're a very busy guy. He's a wealth-controlling lawyer. Or is he putting on airs for us?
No, it's true. He's very busy. They may not like him on Twitter, but they definitely like him on Yelp.
No one likes anyone on Twitter. Don't worry about it.
We had a nice lunch and then we came here, and so we'll be relaxing, hanging out.
Alex Biddle, thanks for coming on in, man. You're a good, good sport. Did anyone get to you at all? Like, I mean, this might be one of the first times you've ever basked in an element of like public adulation or people saying I did not like the guy. Don't let anyone get to you, man. Don't let anybody get to you.
No, I read it, but it is what it is. I read Twitter all the time. I see people just want to complain about everything. I didn't know I was being that it was in your home.
Right, you were unaware,
right? I was having a good time. Everyone in my section, we were laughing it up. The only people upset were the Mets fans. And so we were having a good time. And so if some people didn't enjoy it, sorry. But
what was amazing is NBC never like potted down that microphone right behind home plate. Like, I'm surprised they didn't go out of the way to mute you a little bit, because you were, again, it sounded like Dwayne Kuiper, Mike Kruko, and Alex Biddle doing the Giants game last night. It really did. Thank you so much for coming in.
One quickie?
Yes.
Because it's asked from the text line here. Did you get the socks on Amazon? Did you look for them? Or was that just something that you were saying in the moment?
No, I mean, he probably bought those on the street of New York. It looked like something from those little vendors. It was really corny. I don't know what the guy was thinking.
We got to get him a pair of those socks somehow, some way, for dragging himself here in the middle of the Friday afternoon.
Did the Seagulls eat well when it was all said and done?
I have to assume.
They always do. The Seagulls get it good. As soon as the game's over, things get beautiful at that ballpark for the Seagulls. I'll tell you, there was an element of a crowded stadium keeps the Seagulls away. When that ballpark gets late and the crowd starts to dwindle, the amount of Seagulls that take over, and it almost affected fly balls last night. Like, I don't know how you can track that baseball through basically the last 15 minutes of The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock.
Right, through the air traffic out there.
Lots of air traffic.
Can you think of a time, too, where it's actually impacted the game? I mean, after all these years now, going on almost 20, you're a better part of two decades.
The only time I've really seen a bird impact a game was when Randy Johnson
just went through my
blew
head.
Up a pigeon
just went
in a spring
head.
Training game. That was about it.
Like, and Dave Winfield got one, I think, with the Yankees way back when.
The roof at the Trop affects more baseballs than any flying bird or anything did.
Are the ground rules in effect for the birds?
Doesn't the scoreboard at Dallas Stadium get punted into once? They have to repunt once a year or something like that. Niner fan? Warrior fan?
Warriors, Niners, Giants.
Heckling, if it were an art form, do you only paint in baseball?
The funniest heckle is probably about 2007. I'm 21. And we're sitting right behind the visitors bench, and it's the Warriors are playing the Kings, and this is Mike Bibby. And it's three of my buddies, we're 21 years old, and just all game, just giving it to Mike Bibby. He turned around, and he clapped his hands at us, said, "You guys are great cheerleaders." Kept trying to get us kicked out. We kept it clean. Basketball is really fun to heckle, but, you know, the Warriors prices these days.
Yeah, they don't. The riffraff usually doesn't get close enough to heckle.
Oh,
to be totally honest with you,
yeah.
No, I'm putting you in the riffraff category. I'm sorry about that. But you
what
know.
About you, Damon? Show your cards. There must have been a time in a young Damon Bruce's life where he heckled somebody somewhere.
I got on Pete Incaviglia once at Wrigley Field to the point where it was during batting practice, so it wasn't even during the game, obviously. But it was a back and forth with a major leaguer, and we connected. We absolutely connected. He threw me up a tin. I grabbed a chew, and I still said, "I hope you go 0-for-4 today, Stinky." Like that was it. I had a buddy of mine who was thrown out of the last ever All-Star game at Three Rivers Stadium because he was heckling Kirby Puckett. And I said, "Who rides Kirby Puckett?" And he said, "That's the point. Somebody needed to. He's had a free pass this entire time. I was coming after Kirby. I got a heater on before I left the house, and I just came with a Kirby Puckett." And I was like, "All right, man." Got thrown out of an All-Star game. Who does that?
But got the heave-ho for it, yeah.
Yeah. How do you get thrown out of an All-Star game?
And you're paying top dollar for that. I don't care what era, what ballpark. Those tickets aren't cheap.
It's very impressive. Obviously, heckling has a long, long lineage.
Hey, bada, 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 swing, bada. Hey, bada, 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 swing, bada. Kennedy, 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 swing, bada.
From Wrigley Field that day, a little Ferris Bueller's day off, there was a guy who was a famous Washington Bullets fan. Who one night was reading the book Jordan Rules to Michael Jordan, and he was like the famous Washington heckler. This guy had a moment or two in the sun. There was another guy in a classic NBA video where former Utah Jazz coach Frank Layden was storming the sidelines, and somebody was ripping Layden that night, and he turns around and he's like, "Hey! Yo, with a fat mouth, did you pay for those seats?" And the guy was like, "Yeah, I did." He's like, "All right, well, I'll keep talking." Hey, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Have a good time. Really, really appreciate it. Giants win. Should they be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline? As a Giants fan, as a heckler last night, you officially get to weigh in on this. What do you think?
God, it's a tough question. I defer to the professionals, but...
Are you saying we're the professionals?
No, not you.
No,
Mr.
not me. No.
Mr. Zaidi, but
yes.
Maybe sellers, I guess.
It's
but
be,
but
right?
We can still win.
Have a little fun.
You can sell and still win.
Have a little fun.
Yeah.
Trade Will Smith. You want to keep a guy like Bumgarner around? I totally get it. It won't be bad for business if you did that. Stephanie, what do you do?
I work for Apple.
Very nice. We had Steve Wozniak on last week. You know Woz?
I do not know him personally, no, but I do know the Woz.
Well, look, we got we got an Apple employee. We got a man who manages wealth probably down in Atherton. An awful lot. That feels like a wealth management area if there ever was one.
San Mateo.
One day.
By the way, you mentioned the famous heckler from the Washington Bullets days, the Wizards. He has like a really long Wikipedia page. So I don't know if you do or don't yet, but just be aware this might be in your future. His name is Robin Ficker. He's now 76 years old. It's all about his early life, his education, his legal career, some of the cases that he's participated in, his political career. And then there's the chapters at the bottom that we were just talking about, him as a heckler, passionate supporter of the Washington Bullets for many years. He heckled the opposing teams at the games. So good luck to you. You might end up with your own Wikipedia page as a result of this moment last night.
Alex, all I can tell you is that I was on my couch, probably had turned that game off and gone to bed, but you tickled me pink. Like I said, it was funny. You made me laugh out loud two or three, four times. I'm rewinding to film you once I actually discovered you? Because normally, if you're being on the if you're being caught on the broadcast, you're up near the broadcast booth.
Right.
But it wasn't until I started picturing the sound coming out of your mouth, I'm like, wait a minute, it's that guy right there. And you just, it was funny, man. Thanks for coming on in. Really appreciate it. Best to you. Have a great summer.
Yep. Fan of the show. Thanks for bringing me in.
Absolutely. We're fan of you. Alex Biddle here on 95.7 The Game. The Heckle God. Oh, yeah, that's an exclusive. We feel good about it, and you should, too. Here on The Damon Bruce Show, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
San Francisco Giants are riding a six-game winning streak. They've seen their run differential go from minus 92 on June 21st to today on July 19th. It's now minus 13. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. I mean, say what you want. 10-game sample size, 9-1 is pretty darn good. Look, one game under 500. Now, like you said, that's the magic number. Once you cross that threshold, we can take you a little seriously. Although we do need to say one more time, how many teams are in the National League wildcard conversation? Every team in the National League, unless you're leading your division or the Miami Marlins. Those are the teams. Every team not leading the division right up to the Miami Marlins is technically in this conversation. So the Giants getting there is not some remarkable singular act that they can now bank on.
Four teams ahead of them.
But there's no denying. Here they are playing some decent baseball and being genuinely undecided about trading ace Madison Bumgarner. Like, if you were, if you're Farhan, you're looking at this, you're seeing the cards that you're holding, you're trying to figure what cards might be dealt to you back for the cards that you're holding, and you're totally thinking, all right, I'm going to throw these cards back into the pot. Go, you know, gin. You know, let's get a new set of cards here. And now all of a sudden, I just don't know. I know I was firmly in the his job is to not fall for this illusion. The illusion, Darren, becomes more compelling by the win.
Well, let me read something to you. I don't know when exactly Farhan said this. I'm sure you discussed it. I'm sure it's been discussed. All I have is earlier this month, a direct quote from Farhan Zaidi. You ready?
Yes.
If we continue to play well over the next couple of weeks, then some of the narratives that are out there about what we might do at the trade deadline are probably going to conflict with that goal to keep pushing on a season where we still hope to accomplish some things. That's Zaidi. Now, he didn't say clearly that the narratives will get flipped and instead of trading everybody, we're going to push and we're going to make a march towards a postseason berth. He didn't say that in those specific terms. And we all know that when these general managers or managers speak, I always remind my audience, they're never under oath, so take it for what it's worth. But when he says, if we continue to play well over the next couple of weeks, then some of the narratives that are out there about what we might do at the trade deadline are probably going to conflict with the goal to keep pushing on a season where we still hope to accomplish some things.
The narrative will conflict with the goal to keep pushing on a season where they hope to accomplish some things? Mm. What? Who was
a lot of words.
Wait a minute. Who had that as the narrative? There was never a single person who walked into this year saying the Giants were trying to accomplish things. There was nothing really left for this team to accomplish, and that's pretty much why everyone agreed Farhan needs to go ahead and make cold, hard, calculated choices, and he says the narrative might change. He didn't say my thinking has changed.
Nope. The narratives that are out there about what we might do at the trade deadline specifically are probably going to conflict with the goal. Hmm. So is he open-minded then to perhaps changing the narrative? I would tell you also, I think narrative is one of the most overused words in
yes,
our industry.
Absolutely.
But that being said, it's him and it's a direct quote. So I'm giving him the credit on using that word. That's not a word that Damon and I are bantering about here. But if I'm reading that right, what he's saying is, hey, everybody thinks we're automatically going to trade all these cats, including Bumgarner and Smith and whomever else might not be nailed down here that we could part ways with. Well, some of that changes if, in fact, this team continues to play well. Now, again, that was earlier this month. I don't know what the record was. I don't know if he actually believed that a run like this was possible because not a lot of other people did as well. But still, I mean, that's him. I mean, that's one of those quotes that you got to attach to him and then say, well, what was that that you said earlier this month about the narratives that might change and conflict with what's happening before the deadline and yada yada.
Just a little bit more on baseball before we turn our attention to the news about Tyreek Hill not being suspended for a single play going on to next year. Last night, like you said, we got that moment where Mad Bum was left to hit for himself. Numbers might have said going in a different direction. Maybe the numbers don't even say going in a different direction when it's Mad Bum. But it felt like Bruce Bochy let a moment exist, then go right to the whatever the numbers say to do. Ron Wotus was leaning on the top step of the dugout last night, and I even took a picture. He was holding a laminated card of it was a laminated spray chart of either where pitches are going or where hitters are taking their balls when pitches. I don't know what exactly it was, but it was a juicy piece of information that I would have loved to have pored over. Like it's the old, like in Super Troopers, like enhance. Like I wish I could have pulled all the way in to see what was really written right there. And Ron, hey, look, Ron, I love you, buddy. Look out for your hold cards. I don't know if that's proprietary information, but these teams come up with their own baseball metrics and they guard them closely. And we just saw a little bit of it. And it was just an incredibly multicolored detail page of statistics. Again, I wish I could have seen.
You need something a little more advanced than the iPhone to zoom in on that, clear it up. Right, yeah.
Right.
Focus in on that, clear it up.
Speaking of moments and great moments, ask the text line. How many of history's great sport moments go against whatever the data on the card said? And I thought that that was a great, great question here on the text line. How many moments would go against the data that the card says, yeah, go ahead and do that? Jeez, I mean, I don't know. Whenever the underdog came through, whenever the unexpected happens, I mean, I don't know what the data would have told you, but no one really expected Cody Ross to be hitting home runs off of Roy Halladay. No one expected World Series home runs off Verlander by Pablo Sandoval, two of them. I mean, it was just the unexpected happens like that, but I even know that your question's a little deeper. How many times would the data said, now, don't do this? I guarantee you the data would have held Kirk Gibson out of that at-bat that is one of the most famous at-bat, the most famous at-bat in the history of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, the at-bat that I think created the term walk-off, right? Isn't that where the term walk-off generally gets credited for its origins, is Eckersley saying that about walking off the mound?
Right. So I never understood I've heard different people take credit, and I've heard it's supposed to mean different things. I always interpreted it as walk-off. Only available to you if you hit a home run in the ninth inning or later at home. Like, I hear people reported, like, oh, on the road tonight, that, you know, hit a walk-off. You can't walk off on the road because the home team's going to get a bat.
Right.
It's got to be.
That's a game winner. That's not a walk-off.
Right. I always thought the walk-off was, I hit a ball so far, no one needs to play sports anymore. We can all walk off and go home. Like, that's what I always thought it was. And Dennis Eckersley said that it's me walking off the field in shame. I thought it was like the whole night of work is over.
You thought it was
everyone
mic drop.
Can go home now. Yes.
Yeah, this is a mic drop.
That's what
here,
I always said.
Yeah, walk off.
I interpreted walk off.
I heard that. Yeah, the Gibson one. Who knows if they would have even suggested to put him out there? I mean, I would love to see a deep dive on some of the most historic plays that we've ever seen in sports. You know, whether it's a missed field goal in a Super Bowl. Well, the data would have said on 4th and 2, you should have gone for it in that spot, right? Because now we all know that you should go for it way often more on 4th down, especially short down and distance. So I'd love to see a deep dive on that some of the most famous plays in sports history might have had a different outcome if, in fact, you strictly went by the data, and who knows what we would and now there's a flip side of that, too.
The data didn't say, hey, Madison, you should come back in Game 7 of the World Series and try to get a 4-plus inning save here. It did. I'll tell you, the data absolutely said, we got Casilla ready to go, warmed up, and, you know, bring in your closer here, Bochy. Ignored the data in that moment and totally went with his gut.
Yeah, I'm going to guess if you look up the splits on most major league pitchers, they don't suggest that they come back on 2 days rest when they're starters. I'm going to crawl out on a limb and suggest that that probably isn't what the book says to do with starting pitchers anymore.
Aaron Boone got suspended 1 game. He had a not safe for work rant yesterday, and I'm just going to tell you right now as I push this button, I really hope Whoever edited this was Johnny on the spot when they did it. Aaron Boone rant. It doesn't sound nearly as good as it was, but he was just riding whoever that umpire was, just telling him, you got to get better. He undressed that umpire in a way that you hear like angry fathers undress their children.
I wasn't sure it was a one-game suspension. And you do have to find it, and you have to find it subtitled to truly appreciate it, because you can hear it a little bit better. There are lots of versions of it out there, but to truly appreciate it is to see it with the subtitles. What does he refer to his team as? He has a phrase for his team.
Savages.
Yeah, like
my boys are savages in the box.
They are bleeping savages in the box there. So, and he's complimenting the opposing pitcher. Like, he covers a lot of ground for a guy who's generally perceived to be pretty mild-mannered. Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know about a one-game suspension, though. My gosh. If we went back and suspended all the managers for using that kind of language...
Earl Weaver wouldn't have been able to manage.
Weaver, Lasor. I mean, the list is pretty long. Pretty long.
888-957-9570. We've got Matt Vasgersian joining us. Only guest today. Matt Vasgersian stopping by in our 4 o'clock hour to start our 4 o'clock hour and talk a little baseball with him on both sides of the bridge. You all know he's a big resident A's fan, and we'll get into the A's a little bit with Matt and ask whether or not they might not be perfectly suited to be the trading partner of the Giants for Madison Bumgarner. But we all know that that probably cannot, will not happen.
Well, let me ask you this. What would be more likely? A trade from the Giants to the A's or to the Dodgers? I heard Joe Lowe and Dibbs talking about that this morning.
Ooh. I mean, either way, you're going to rub a portion of your fan base the wrong way. I still think the A's are the less evil entity in the room.
Totally,
I mean,
agree.
Without a doubt. The only time you got to worry about the A's is during, you know, 1989 flashbacks and the Bay Bridge series. That's it. So it's got to be the Dodgers would absolutely be more offensive, because the only joy Giants fans have had since 2016 ended in postseason defeat was that none of these postseasons end in Dodger victory. I mean, they are the ultimate World Series bridesmaid right now. And if Mad Bum were the guy to put them over the top, there would be some elements of hard to see that with your own eyes.
I think, yeah, sports has changed so much that players move all the time. We were talking about it with regards to the NBA. You know, the idea that you buy jerseys anymore is, for me at least, a bit of an old tradition to buy jerseys, because you just don't know. There's so much player movement. But the one thing for me, Damon, that must absolutely at all costs be kept sacred is revering the rivalries. You've got to maintain the rivalries. We can understand that players have more freedom and flexibility to move around the country at their pleasure, at their will. And they've earned that right, whether people like it or not. But to me, the one thing that we absolutely have to keep sacred in sports is treasuring and honoring rivalries, great rivalries. And when you're talking about the best rivalry in the sport between the Dodgers and Giants, there's no way you do that. There's just no way you do that.
You can't do that. You can't do that. You know, what bothers me with honoring rivalries is all of the, you know, how could the NFL hurt itself by eating itself alive, by taking cities that you've been loyal to and then becoming disloyal? Any of this ringing a bell to you, Darren?
Yeah.
What happened in San Diego obviously was a stunner. And, you know, the rivalry between the San Diego Chargers and the Raiders was significant. And now it's forever altered.
Yeah, the L.A. Charger-Vegas Raider rivalry doesn't quite mean the same thing.
No, it does not.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.